Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome, and we trust the Lord will bless you today as you gather with us around God's Word. We're going to begin with a word of prayer together, so let's bow our heads and come before the throne of grace. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee for the opportunity just to still ourselves and come around Thy Word today. O God, we pray that Thou bless us. We pray that Thou speak to each and every heart. O Father, we pray that as the gospel goes forth, that it may bless Thy people, that Thy people may be energized and revived. We pray that it may challenge some backslider to come back unto Thee. And Father, we pray if there's any listening that as yet are without Christ, show them the seriousness of their sin. Show them their need of Jesus Christ today. And we pray that we may be able to rejoice with the whole of heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Bless us now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to turn in God's Word together, please, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 11 verses together. And here we read about the love of God. We read that even though we don't deserve God's love, that the Lord is still willing to give it. Romans 5, verse 1. The Word of God states, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his holy and precious word to each of our hearts. Now we're going to sing together another beautiful old hymn, God Loved the World of Sinners Lost and Ruined by the Fall, Salvation Full at Highest Cost, He Offers Free to All. Our text today is Romans chapter 5 and the verse 8. And we're looking at the title very simply, Loving the Unlovable. Loving the Unlovable. And Romans 5 verse 8 states, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of us like to be loved. There's no doubt about that. Whether we're thinking as individuals, whether we're thinking among our own family circle, we love to be loved. Whether we think of in work, maybe among our colleagues, we like our colleagues to praise us and love us and think we've done a great job. Whether it's in sports and some great achievement we've made. We like to be loved. We like to receive praise. We like to feel what it is to be wanted, whether it's among family, friends, colleagues, whatever we do. And it doesn't matter your condition. It doesn't matter if you're the wealthiest person in the world or whether you're the greatest pauper in the world. All of us want to be loved. And you see, as we look at this verse, we find that there is love like no other love. Here we find love that a colleague can't show you. Here we find love that a family member or a spouse can't show you. Here we find love like no other love, for this is the love of God. But you see, the interesting thing is this, that it is God loving what seems to be the unlovable. Loving the unlovable. There are three things I want you to note from our verse today. Number one, the unlovable. Number two, the love shown. And number three, very simply, will you accept or reject God's love? So, firstly, we find the unlovable. Look at our text again. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 8. It states, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, here we're reminded that we're sinners. Here we're reminded of the fact that to a large degree, we are unlovable. And if we were asked to love people like us, then we wouldn't show the love that the Lord has shown. But it says in our text, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at the verse 7 with me if you have a copy of God's Word. It says, For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Oh, somebody that to a large extent is righteous, is perfect, is good, upstanding. Somebody that is worthy of saving, you could say. Somebody that is worthy of love, worthy of affection, worthy of adoration. And it says in the verse 7, scarcely, hardly ever. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Then it goes on, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. And the word dare indicates, why would you? Why would you? But some would even dare to die for a good man. Not a righteous man, but a level below a good man. And then we find here in our text that you are not righteous and you are not good, but you and I, we come a whole lot level down from that, and we are not righteous, we are not good, but we are sinners. We are rebellious against God. We are, to a large extent, the unlovable. And yet we still read the unlovable, the sinners, the rebellious, the lawless, the transgressors, the iniquitous. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us. And it goes on to explain that he's showing his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what tremendous love that is. When you think some wouldn't die for a righteous man or a good man, but Christ was willing to die for sinners. Christ was willing to die for you and for me. And when we look at this, the unlovable, it's very important that we get our heads about this today. Because Romans chapter 3 informs us, saying, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read then in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, For the wages of sin is death. And you may say, Well, preacher, you're coming on a bit strong today, aren't you? How dare you call me a sinner? How dare you say I'm a bad person? I like to think I'm a good individual. I like to think I'm a righteous individual. How dare you tell me that I'm a sinner? Listen, I'm not telling you a sinner. God is telling you you're a sinner. God's word is telling you a sinner. Exodus chapter 20 could not be clearer, friend. You go through the Ten Commandments, and I want to tell you this, just in case you didn't know, you and I were guilty of all ten. You say, well, preacher, oh, okay, I accept I'm guilty of some of them, but I'm not guilty of them all. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, and so am I. You say, well, preacher, when the Bible says thou shalt not steal, then maybe I have stolen something, but preacher, I'm a good person, really. I haven't robbed a bank. Maybe I stole a pencil or a paper clip or something miniature and insignificant. Does that matter? Yes, it does. That makes you a thief. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And you say, well, preacher, I don't lie. I'm not a pathological liar. I don't constantly tell untruths. Maybe not, but have you told a white lie or have you told a lie to maybe even make someone feel better or encourage somebody? Listen, a lie is a lie, and the Bible says that all liars have their part in the lake of fire. It's serious. And you say, well, preacher, okay, maybe I've done some of those things. When the Bible says, thou shalt not covet, maybe I've wanted what my neighbor has. Maybe I've wanted what a family member has that I couldn't have. I've desired something that wasn't mine. Maybe I've done those things, but preacher, I haven't killed anyone. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. I haven't done that now. Well, you see, in the New Testament, the Lord compares murder to hatred. Have you ever hated anybody? Well, the Bible condemns it, and the Lord compares it to murder. And you say, well, maybe I'm guilty of that one too. You say, but preacher, I've been faithful. Oh, I've been faithful. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I have been faithful to my husband or my wife, my spouse. I've been faithful. I haven't cheated. But friend, the Lord compares adultery to lust. You ever lusted after somebody? You say, maybe I am guilty. You see, friend, as we go through commandment 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We are guilty. Guilty as charged. And the word of God tells us that in Romans chapter 3. The law is there so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You and I are guilty. And to a large extent, we are unlovable. This is our condition. And further to that, further to our sin, we are condemned, friend. We are condemned to the punishment of God's wrath, which is God's hell forevermore. We are, to a large extent, as sinners, unlovable. And I wouldn't love somebody like that, but God did. Because we find in our text not only the unlovable, in that while we were yet sinners, we find, secondly, the love shown. The love shown. Because it says in our verse, and it's tremendous, it says in the verse 8, but God commendeth. Or God showeth, that's what that word means. But God showeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, God has shown his love while we seem to be unlovable. And then it says Christ died for us. Oh, my friend, there is no love like the love of God. John's Gospel, chapter 3 and the verse 16, tells us that. And what wonderful words they are. For God so loved. Oh, friend, God loved. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that's you and me, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell for our sin, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, friend, this love that is shown, it was shown in the fact that God the Father has given to us Jesus Christ, his precious Son. And Jesus Christ has lived a perfect life for us. Jesus Christ, out of love, was born, and essentially born in a barn among the farm animals. This is the King of glory, remember, and who's born in a lowly and a humble position. And he lived a perfectly righteous life. And you know what he then did, friend? He died for us. Just as our text says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, friend, he was betrayed. He was betrayed by one of his closest friends. He was then arrested. He was then taken to a sham trial where lies were told about him. He was beaten and he was mocked and he was spat upon. You think, is there a more vile thing you could do to somebody, to spit in their face? That's what they did to the Savior. And they plucked his beard and they scourged his back. Oh, friend, listen to me. They whipped his back and they whipped his back till his back was opened up like a plowed field. And then do you know what they did? After they had put a crown of thorns upon his brow, mocking him, deriding him, they put a cross upon his back and they made him drag it till he could carry it no further. And then when he got up to Golgotha's hill, that place called Calvary, they nailed him. You think about that. Right where you are, you think and feel the palm of your hand for a moment. They nailed him straight through his hands and his feet. And they raised that cross up into the air, higher and higher and higher into the air. And you imagine the agonies as gravity would have literally ripped his flesh, the nails ripping his flesh. But what kept him on the tree? It was our sin kept him on the tree, friend. It wasn't the nails, it was our sin kept him there. And it was his love for our souls kept him there. The Bible tells us that the angels were watching on. The Bible tells us that at any moment, the Savior could have called upon 12 legions of angels to lift him from that tree, to take him to glory, and to forget about us, the unlovable. But no, he stayed there, and he bled there. And he died there, and he died for us. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you get it yet, friend? There is no love like this love. And I ask you, why would you reject it? Why would you turn away? Why would you trample on the gift, which is the blood of Jesus Christ? He died for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Oh yes, we see the unlovable, and we see the love shown. But I want to ask you very simply, thirdly, will you accept or reject God's love? You see, God's love is on offer. Oh, you can take it right now, right where you find yourself. Doesn't matter your circumstance. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter whether you're with family or on your own. Doesn't matter if you're upper class or lower class. Doesn't matter. Friend, right where you are, you have an option. Everyone listening has an option today. And the option is this: you know about God's love, so will you take it or will you reject it? Will you take Jesus Christ or will you reject Jesus Christ? Will you go to heaven and home or will you end up in hell for all eternity? The choice is simple, and it baffles me why so many would not take Jesus Christ right now. Oh yes, you may think, "Well, preacher, I'll wait till some other time." Friend, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. You need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. You need to ask him to save you. You know, in Matthew chapter 7 and the verse 8, it says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." It's all you got to do. It's not hard, is it? It's not hard. It's not difficult. Maybe you say, "Well, preacher, it's too easy, isn't it?" Well, if it's too easy, that's what you think, then fair enough. But friend, that's as easy as the gospel is. Ask and you'll receive. And we find in Matthew 7, verse 8, it says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." You see, that portion goes on to talk about those that show love. And it says, if somebody asks you for bread, will you give them a stone? It says if somebody asks you for fish, would you give them a serpent? And the answer is obviously no. If they ask, you'll give it to them. And that's the same with Almighty God. You know about his love. You know what Christ has done. You know what we read in Romans chapter 5 and the verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Friend, Christ died for you and he died for me. And I ask you, will you ask him to save you today? He will. He'll take you. He'll redeem you. He'll take you just as you are. He says, I will in no wise cast out. Friend, he stands with arms wide open, ready to take you, ready to receive you, ready to wrap his loving arms around the unlovable. So why won't you flee to him? When will you run to him? When will you come to him? Because I assure you of this, there only is a specific time, and time will not last forever. That's why the Bible puts an urgency on it. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You've got to get right with God now. Don't leave it till tomorrow. Don't leave it even till an hour's time. You get right with God at this instant. Because his love is wonderful, his love is great, and his love will save you if you would only come to him. My friend, listen very carefully to the words of our text. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's bow in a word of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, we do pray that thou bless the gospel to each and every heart. Oh, Father, we pray, show men and women, boys and girls, that they need Jesus Christ today, that to a large extent, because of our sin, we are unlovable. But we thank thee that God has seen fit to love even the unlovable. Oh, God, help souls to come to thee today. Bless thy word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.